Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, audience. This is definitely a whole different Hollywood. I have had quite anticipation of doing this show because this is on the verge of being more on a private. This is going to be somewhat of my sensibility for therapy, so I appreciate all of you for listening in. Today I labeled to show introduction to What the Hell Happened, Hollywoods. But what I should have said is, what the hell happened to Hollywoods? It started quite a while ago, and because it's such an ongoing, still to this point, issue, I'm going to unfold it in a series. So not only will you be able to hear the full story, I'll be able to officially use this as my form of therapy and getting all of this off my chest, because it's been quite the ordeal and I have no interest of holding on to this any longer. So without further ado, what did I do, you wonder? I'm going to go ahead and just blur it out there. I gave it up. What does that mean? I gave up my dream. I gave up what I believed in. I gave up what I was working so hard for these last 13 years, and that is the complete control of Pole Control Studios, the Academy of Aerial Arts. I've had this business for 13 years now, and all the work that I've done doesn't really equate to all of the necessary downfalls that I saw so early on that I never took complete control of, and to this day, finally now, cutting these ties. I had a partner. His name is John Provincial. I met him when I was at one of the most highest points of my career as a dancer, and just starting off with my idea of building the studio and creating and scaling the business plan that I had for what is now known as Pole Control Studios without a lot of major points put in. I went into business with this man under the pretense of a love connection. Let me back up a little bit for you. I met him and I wasn't quite ready for a relationship. I just had that split with Brendan Hogan, which I thought I was going to marry him. He and I just traveled back and forth around the country, and I only got back into dancing, honestly, to upgrade our social and financial status, because I felt we had a lot more publicly we were able to offer the world, just allowing a little bit more flexibility with our potential. And so I wanted to venture into my dream, and I didn't want a boyfriend, I didn't want a relationship, but somehow I met John, and I believe that's all he was really looking for, because his way of pursuing me initially started off as someone who very much understood and respected my boundaries and what I came to the table with, but eventually started using a lot of my, I should say, misfortunes as an opportunity for him to either wane in or slither in, I should say, in the better term or phrase, into my life, because my needs were not romantic, just sexual. And most dancers or performers are fairly secure with themselves emotionally enough to understand where they are sexually and where they are emotionally. So as I mentioned, most of my pleas and things that I've expressed purely from my heart were overheard, because his true agenda was to have a relationship with me. I eventually fell for it due to a couple of
misadvice from friends and family. I think they were seeing the bigger picture of the potential, and it slowly started to backfire as he started to unveil a lot more of his true personality, really with everyone, from my family wanting to sort of disassociate themselves because the side of him that they didn't favor, that was so strong, became something that was more and more evident, more him than the side that he's shown us when he was representing himself in another light. So by then it was a little too late. I've already expressed to him my plans for the studio and my plans for my future. And he expressed how he had interest as well, and he'd like to do nothing more than just see my dreams take place. And I thought that must be love, because who else would invest that much into themselves and not want anything in return? Little did I know, he would want a lot in return, and the way he would make a ploy to get it would be in another way. We'll talk about that a little later. But let's talk about how he got into my wallet and how he got into my mind. A little reverse in time, I was performing with my roommate who lived in the Bronx. And we would travel back and forth because I had a car that I had with my ex, Brendan, and I was still paying for and utilizing. That was until she crashed it, and I had to put it in the shop, and then the bills accrued where we weren't able to get it out in time, and I believe they must have sold it or whatever, but I'm sure it did a number on Brendan's credit, and I felt awful. So the first thing I wanted to do was to repay him for entrusting in me what he did entrust in me so I can move forward with my life. Meanwhile, we weren't the best of friends, Brendan and I, and we still had a little bit of an issue with when it came to some property and things here and there. So John felt it was necessary to step up and be a man in my life and be the man in my life and create closure for me by bringing me to Rocky Hill, where Brendan and I moved to from Arizona, and retrieving my things to my new apartment, which I was living with my roommate. I was not aware that at that time he had another thing going on in his world, which was he was living at the Hilton, and he had previous experience and some criminal activity that kept him from being as completely honest with me as he could have. That is where the plot thickens, just to suffice his side of the story. However, my agreement was to never be involved with anyone that could potentially bring me down their web. So I chose to not be in a romantic relationship with him unless we were planning on moving forward with marriage. And it didn't necessarily mean we had to have kids. I just needed to know where we were financially and how we were going to manage these next stages of life, if he intended on me being a part of it and having to, I don't know, be a proxy or an advocate to whatever behavior he's been placed before. It's almost like accepting his credit, but his criminal background. I wasn't going to accept that under these circumstances. But he owned 1% of the business. So I didn't want to marry the man that I was in business with either, because I didn't want that to backfire, which, looking forward, I kind of made one smart decision with that, which we didn't get married, and I'm kind of happy. However, this is 13 years later, so reiterating on the story, him living in the hotel and me living with my roommate, traveling and performing, my original blueprint for Pole Control Studios inquired a little bit more of, I should say, adult sexual development. So my agenda was to return to school so I would be able to have whatever qualifications was necessary for me to bring more of adult education to the main objective of the business. And it really, in my mind, now that I'm thinking about it, wasn't really what threatened him, because he was very adamant about his depriority to sex, because that was something that I think was more mental than physical. But because physically he has a degenerative disease that keeps his body from functioning properly, I believe his hormones and his testosterone has been affected in so many ways that he has lost such huge sexual desires that he was never able to meet my needs sexually or personally. So with that said, a few years into the relationship that really was going nowhere, we ended amicably. However, there was a sale in the residence we shared, and my son, have to mention him as well, still living and going to school, wanted to make sure that I didn't intervene in his education by giving him more gaps that he didn't need in order for him to succeed. So I decided to stay with John for even a little longer, and years in, I found myself more and more financially dependent, because as the business went up and down from the economy, from patients to me changing careers and fully doing this as a full-time job with absolutely no compensation, I found myself not knowing where my finances were going. I found myself in a position of ignorance as a business owner where I did not know my numbers. I didn't know where my numbers were coming from. I didn't know where my customer base was coming from. And I sure was help, because for over 13 years, the only time I've been able to have an actual chair meeting with my board was the time I brought in an additional partner. And the second time wasn't an actual meeting. It was an event that still required a signing of an additional partner. So there were two silent partners added over the years that initially as well owned pieces of the business, but their investment was financial. And the time that was supposed to be with the financial contribution was not met. So I'm not sure if their percentage still exists. I know that a 75% ownership is a majority ownership. And legally what I wanted was the opportunity to what I own and try to move forward so I'm not being held back any longer, because it's not that I cannot do what I do. I love what I do. I cannot do it with whom I was doing it with. And potential of growing wasn't going to go anywhere, because we have such distaste for one another. We're never able to meet eye to eye about anything as simple as just having a meeting about the business. What I've done over the last 6 to 10 years, I would say, would be more of the marketing, of course, social media, that's been most of everything I do, making videos, anything to produce back end to, you know, build clientele in that way. However, my majority job has been teaching. So it's been around the schedule of teaching classes, building curriculum, and trying to get students in. So I spend about 12 to 16 hours of my day, every day, working towards a business that gives me no compensation, and with a partner that owns 1% of my business, who has complete control over my finances and my means of living. Mostly now, because of the living situation, when we decided to move out and still move together in another residence for the sake of my son, he eventually moved out, but he didn't move out like a normal kid would after high school, you know, go off to college or go live with your friends. He left, and he left mostly because the partnership John and I had was more like, I'm Xavier's mom. My son is an amazing kid, but he's still a kid. And John has no idea of what a kid is supposed to behave like. He believes kids are only supposed to behave the way he was raised and brought up. And he was raised and brought up such in a strict, extreme lifestyle that I doubt if there was any real love in his family. So as John displayed his parenting style, he and I started falling more and more apart. And this literally started when my son started school living with us. Before that, John never had much of the ability or, in my eye, the opportunity to showcase himself as a father. And when he did, it was more of about what he can give the kid and what the kid owes him back. Like it was an investment, like a stock. And I hated that he used our potential because it felt almost racist in many ways, because not only is he very blatantly ignorant in the way he speaks and the way he thinks and the way he portrays himself, he doesn't realize how often he sounds in public when he's speaking to people of color this way. And so we were highly embarrassed, and it was embarrassing to have him as a partner. It was embarrassing to see him have an attack physically because of his disease and then watch him use that against us as a ploy to diminish us and whatever he needed to do at that time to express his distaste in our behavior, make that very obvious and evident, but in a very, I'll say it, in a very white freaking way. I hate to think of him as that mentality, but I can't help but to think that's how he grew up, and he literally has no other knowledge and education. So he has been displaying for the last 13 years white supremacist attitudes. Now, yes, the business was started with myself and my girlfriends were women of color, but their attention to detail and their business savvy wasn't as impressive, and they didn't stick around long enough to see anything really come from it. What that really led to was John having somewhat of an aura over my head of disapproval of my choices. So it would be constant from anything I brought in to anyone that I invited to be involved, down to my family being around during special holidays and having any tradition. He omitted so many normal behaviors that made me feel human and only made me feel so robotic that I felt that I was having my soul pulled out of my body. And I didn't know really what to do because I constantly thought the business must go on. I must keep everyone happy. There are students that rely on me. There are people who come here and they celebrate their momentous moments of love and dedication to one another with their bachelorette parties and their bridal showers and their specialty birthdays and all of the things that make the studio special away from, because it was beating me down with just what the business entailed. And he didn't understand because he didn't scale with me or help me grow. He often thought everything cost money, and because things cost money, he eventually utilized the business as a shelter for laundering. And then Springfield happened. Springfield is a whole nother story. That starts off where I continue to get back into dancing for the sake of keeping the studios going and actually riding the tide of the economy as it goes up and down and all chaotic. And then right before COVID and the drama of that, we're moving into a new studio, but back to Springfield, we have an opportunity, and the opportunity leads us in many directions. My friends decide that they'd like to throw an underground sesh, and they want to throw it in a private place that actually has a nice setup, and maybe we could you know, intertwine our business ideas and, you know, work thoroughly through a different way of connecting our underground crowds. Me working in this form of marketing decides, yeah, sure, let me bring my buddies in. The first one, very successful, but the people we brought in actually used my friend, which they used. So there was nothing earned, nothing gained, but something learned. We learned that this could very well be done on your own. You have to be smart about how you communicate vendors, what you expect from your sessions, and because you want to think about the market being open to the general public, you might want to be a little smarter about how your invitation lists go out or exactly the quantity and quality of what you bring to the table. So we decide to do them ourselves. Goal, put a hardwood floor down so we can do shows. That's it. We want to be able to add more classes to the roster. We can't do floorwork classes or things that require hills on unstable, unsteady, cracked concrete. And often, most of the spaces we are looking at as far as the build-out have no floors. It did continue when we changed and we went to the new studio that's now in Hartford, and that was done, as I mentioned, post-COVID. So, once again, back to Springfield. We're throwing these events, and John decides, okay, well, these people actually do care a lot about their patients, and this is more of like a farmer's market. Let me get myself involved. He gets himself involved. Now he's a full-blown, full-scale performer, full vendor, full supplier, full employee, and now he's working with the Inner Circles. So he uses this as an opportunity to say exactly what he said before, make the finances he thought that he wasn't able to make through the studio. So I felt fairly laundering because, once again, it's not helping the studio, it's just helping himself. And whatever he uses for the studio, he literally claims that it's from his pocket and that he needs now to be compensated. He needs to be reinvested in as an invested supplier of whatever he's bringing to the table. So we're not really seeing it that way, and seeing eye to eye is definitely far-fetched. I find myself in more legal drama when he claims he would rather me not take residence in the home anymore. Yes, I'm not going to because I've moved on in my life. However, my means still hasn't been met because, as I mentioned before, complete control of the money. Or did I even have an understanding of what was made, what was coming in, and what was going out? All I knew is if I didn't make $8,500 a month, something was getting cut off. So I focused on making the $8,500 a month. Meanwhile, whatever additional money he had, he reinvested, they call it re-up or whatever, he decides to put back into his business, and he carries on with his business. Meanwhile, he scales a few different businesses through my business. One, he makes custom poles, which he did already, but he claims it's a separate and different business than from the pole studio because it's him doing a manufacturing job and sending things out specifically to clients. So that's another business. And then I create a hand grip powder solution that will help have additional grip to the poles and any of the apparatus. He decides to take over that as well, spends more money into equipment just to make it look like a fancy setup, and we have now a student studio. I've taken lots of time to write and produce and create, and most of it's been tools and resources for students, but even within that, there's been absolutely no financial gain because my monies are tied and attached to the studio's accounts, so any money that I make on the side goes directly to those accounts. I still, to this day, do not know what I have, what I own, or what's been spent. All I do know is that since Thanksgiving, I've been living on the streets. I have a business that I have absolutely no control over because now I have to
sign over my rights to him so I could just have the ability to access my items in my home, access the things in my storage that I've accumulated over the years that I know have lots of value, things that I've downsized to, including a 3-bedroom house of furniture that's downsized to a 1-bedroom apartment, and of course all of the memories and the growth that I can add to with as much as I can in this business. So as I continue to grow and try to figure out what my steps are next, I open the door to a new, and my new is getting rid of everything. I decide that it all has to go. The business, the car that we share, all of the things that we've created and built over these years, I have to treat it like a real divorce. And it's been tough because I've been attached to these items because what they mean to me for so long, but I know that that's really not the major point. The major point is making sure that I can live my life and be happy and feel free. I have not been able to do that with this man because he's held such high clout over everything that I have and of all of my success. So there's no way to fly. There's no way to breathe because he's taking my air and he's using it to blow up his own balloons to give himself a pity party. And often it's about his health. It's about his sexual depravity. It's about what he doesn't own in my business or what he has to pay for every month because of the pressure that he's put himself in. I've expressed more money, more problems, and you've never given me the opportunity to oversee my money. And that is the worst form of blatant, pure, you said it. I don't want to even say the word out loud. It's impossible to think how much I have been because I looked at him and I swore there were things that were so different and obviously different about him. But he showed himself to be completely exactly what I'm saying. So as I avoid saying the word slave, master for obvious reasons, I'm letting you know you can fill the blanks in however you seem fit because as of today, I'm over it. I'm making and marking a new leaf. I've decided that I'm moving forward with this agenda and nothing is holding me back from growing myself, especially the business and especially him holding the business over me as a form of slavery. So with this said, I have about 59 seconds remaining of this show. I do appreciate you all for listening in. This is, as I mentioned, the first of this installment. There will be more coming because I sent out the letter and now I have to wait for the response. So we will be twiddling our thumbs, writing out our lawyers and telling everyone a Merry Christmas nice and early because me having the freedom to breathe and be on my own is the best gift I can give myself. And after 13 years of realizing that I've had made the worst business decision of my life, I will now mark this day as the first day of making one of the best decisions of my life. And that requires all of you. So feel free, give me your feedback, let me know what you think, and I will do it to be continued soon. Thank you for listening. Ciao.